Turn with me, please, to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. We're going to soon be shifting gears toward the birth of Jesus in the coming weeks. But today we're going to stay with the book of James, our study for the last several weeks. And we're going to talk about the war from within. Would you stand with me as we read from James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we approach your throne of grace, knowing that, Lord, apart from the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we'll not understand this passage. And so I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts, that your Spirit would teach us your word, that you would help us to understand how to apply it so that we may be made better servants for you. Lord, we do love you. And we love you because you first loved us, and you've proven that love by giving your Son upon the cross of Calvary, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, as a result of that love, we have called upon Jesus as our Savior, the Messiah. And now, Lord, teach us to walk in His ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is a war going on. And it's going on, it's raging on the inside of people. It's a constant struggle, each day a fight. Oh, we can smile and pretend, you know. And I asked people, and I shook people's hand this morning as we were coming into church, I'd say, hi, how are you doing? And everybody gave the correct response. The big smile, oh, I'm doing good. But on the inside, there's a battle raging, a war. And that war can come pouring out. It's waiting for just the right reason. When somebody says just the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it comes flowing out like an uncontrollable flood. Where does that come from? Do you ever do that? You start the day off perfectly good, and then one event happens, and it ruins the rest of the day. Inside, you're in torment. You're angry for the next week. Where does that come from? Well, that's the first thing we're going to talk about, is the source of the struggle. And the struggle from without. Through extensive study and many hours and hours of poring over this passage of Scripture, I have discovered that it's not my fault. The problem is people. I mean, you know, let's just be honest. People can be so aggravating. Get on your nerves. It happens when I'm driving. Sometimes I believe that there is a sign on the front of my vehicle that says, "Pull out in front of me, I'll not hit you." You ever feel that way? And don't even get me started about getting on the interstate and behind trucks. And if you're a trucker, I'm sorry, I love you, but sometimes you guys drive 60 miles an hour down the interstate when the speed limit is 75. Caught that, didn't you? I mean, people are so aggravating. And it's not just on the road in general. I mean, sometimes people are aggravating at home. Right? We'll leave that there, for I want peace for the rest of the day. James asked a question. He says, where do wars and fights come from? Wars, major conflicts, a series of battles or attacks. Have you ever noticed, once you become irritated, it's like Satan says, okay, it's on now. I've got him where I want him. It's one right after the other. That's the idea of war. It's one attack after another. Fights. Where do fights come from, which are minor skirmishes? And once you get in that warring inside mentality, it takes so little to make it even worse. And I have come to the conclusion, it's not my fault. It's the fault of the other people who pull out in front of me, who cut in front of me at lines at restaurants and grocery stores. And it's people who say the wrong thing. And if they would just learn how to act, I wouldn't have a problem. But then I studied this some more. And I realized James says, no. It's not people that have the problem. It's Doug Hambrick that has the problem. For you see, the struggle is not from without, people on the outside. The struggle is from within. It's from inside me. And James says, does it not come from your desire for pleasure? That word pleasure is not the word that we would think pleasure to be. We think of just having a good time type pleasure. That word pleasure in the Greek, it literally means the lack of control of natural appetites. And the way it's used here, the lack of control of natural appetites. And so the idea is, James says, do these wars not come from the fact that I refuse to control my fleshly appetites? Mm-hmm. The reality is that my problems are in here. You see, when somebody does pull out in front of me, I get angry on the inside. When somebody does say the wrong thing to me, I get angry on the inside. And it's inside that war begins to well, as James puts it, wars within my members. And I begin to feel unfairly treated. I begin to feel like I deserve better than this. I begin to determine that it must be my place that God has given me to demand justice. And by demanding justice, I mean going to get justice. Taking matters into my own hands and saying, I'll fix this. James points that out. Doug, that's coming from inside you. And the war just continues to rage. James says, you lust, which means to crave, and you do not have. Here we begin to speak of the feelings that begin to build up on the inside. And I crave revenge. I crave blowing past that driver and just giving him a piece of my mind. And I crave getting even. James says, he goes a step farther. As you begin to act upon those feelings, he says you commit murder and you covet, or you set your heart on something so zealously and then you desire it to the point that you'll do anything to get it, but you cannot contain it. Obtain it, I'm sorry. And it begins to consume you to the point that that's all you can think about. James says you fight and you war, or you make war. You begin to take these matters into your own hands, and there's never any peace on the inside. Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed how that even though you may get even, you do not have peace? You do not. Then James says, you do not, and get this, you do not have because you do not ask. See, here's the real important part. You got to get this or you won't get any of it, all right? You have because you do not ask. All these feelings that are bubbling up within you, all these irritations, all these wars and fights that are bubbling up within you, just waiting to explode. And you ask yourself, okay, what is it I really want? Here's the question. Can you ask God for it? Well, brother so-and-so, he said something, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Here's my suggestion. Have you asked God for it? And if you have not, then get on your knees and say, God, I just ask your permission to give brother so-and-so a piece of my mind. I want to tell him off. I want to set him straight. I want to tell him what a horrible person he really is. And God's going to say, okay, my child, you go right ahead. No, he's not. Is he? Listen, can you ask God for it? If you cannot ask God for it, you are dealing with cravings of the flesh that you have got to decide whether you're going to control or not. And it doesn't matter if it's in the church, or if it's where you work, or if it's out on the highway. You've got to decide, can I pray for this? And if the answer is no, then you better not turn loose the feelings that you are feeling. Control it. We want revenge. We just can't ask God for it. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Then James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. That means you asked for the wrong reasons. Here's the second question. I said, can you ask God for it? Second question is, why should God give it to you? If you can pray for it, why should God give it to you? See, these are the two qualifying questions that you need to ask about where you are and what you're feeling on the inside. Do you pray and ask God for it, for the good of the kingdom of God? Do you pray for your enemy? Do you love the person who pulls out in front of you and say, just smile at him when you pass by? Do you just try that? You know they've cut you off and you're driving by them and they're passing. Just smile real big and say, God bless you. That's better than doing a lot of the other things that we do, right? You see, we've got to keep in mind, Jesus said, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, the only way we can do stuff like this is to be able to go to Jesus and say, God, you've got to help me with this. God, this is what I want to do. I do want people to see your love. I do want people to know who I belong to. And I do want my actions to reflect you. You see, the choice is, we can fight like the world fights, or we can be successful. And today I want to share with you the secret to God's secret to success. See, and we start with God's review of where you are. James says, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know? If you are catering to the desires of your flesh, these ungodly desires that are warring inside you, and you begin to turn those loose, James says you are an adulterer. Brother Doug, what is an adulterer? An adulterer is one who is unfaithful. And you are being unfaithful to God. And you may ask, how am I being unfaithful to God? You are being unfaithful to God because you are placing your desires above the kingdom of God and His desires for the kingdom. Adulterer. Adulteress. Let me ask you, if you're married, how do you view adultery? Me personally, I view it very dimly. I don't like it. It's not right. There's nothing good about it. But when you talk spiritual adultery, we begin to think, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, yes, it is a big deal. That's why God uses such terms as don't quench the Spirit. You know, don't grieve the Spirit. It's those times that we're unfaithful, that we're saying, God, I know what I should do, but right now I'm not going to consider your kingdom and your desire for my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And if that's our course of action, we will not have peace with God because we're not being faithful to God. You look here and it says... Well, the New American Standard says, He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. We're letting out all this flesh stuff and our personal desires when God wants to see the Holy Spirit flowing through us into the lives of others. That's God's desire. Can people see God through your actions? And we can make excuses about they did, and the bully at school, and those people at church, and those people I work with, and we can make a long list. But the bottom line is, can God see the Spirit of God flowing through you, ministering to others? You know, we call it fruit of the Spirit, do we not? Do you know what fruit is for? Fruit is to be consumed. Right? By who? By those around. If you're going to bear fruit, then it's going to be fruit that's going to bless the hearts of other people. And you may be blessing the hearts of your enemy. You may be blessing the hearts of those who don't like you. It's okay. You are to bear spiritual fruit. We go on to the response. You see, the bottom line is, the problem is pride. Pride. And it says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That word resist, you know what pride is, right? It's arrogance. Any of us have an arrogance problem? Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet that's 100 out of 100. We all have a little pride problem. And that is the worst thing for your relationship with God. You see, it says God resists. That word resist means to rage in battle. You want to know why you don't have peace outside or inside? It's because God is raging against you. Against that pride that you're feeling and allowing it to control you. You see, that's our problem. I want my way. You ever been there? I want the way I want it done. I want my way. You know what that is? That's pride. Selfishness. I won't be treated like this. Again, why not? Well, don't you know who I am? I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. You should treat me with respect. No. Who do I think I am? All I am is a servant of Almighty God. I'm nothing. And you are too. Yeah. You see, we become confused even when we're driving and we're saying, "Let me through." Who are you? And what happens is we become like a suicide bomber. We've got the explosive all wrapped up inside of us, and we're dressed in it, and we go into a crowd of people, and somebody says just the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we explode! And then we say, "It wasn't my fault. They said, they did. I was provoked." But then you've got to look around. That when you detonated your explosion, there are casualties spread everywhere. People that were hurt, maybe even killed. There were people who would be scarred for life of the explosion. People who will never be able to walk again, talk again, function again. All because I let my temper get the best of me. My friends, that's what James is talking about here. That's when he comes to verse 11. He says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Who are you to explode and set others in their right place? Who are you? As I said before, the problem is pride. And you know what God says about pride? Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things the Lord hates." Yes, seven things are an abomination. Top of the list, a proud look. Why does God hate pride so much? Because pride will take God off the throne of your life and put you on that throne. That's what pride does. You see, you can't serve two gods. You can't serve yourself and God. Oh, but there is a solution. You see, God rewards the humble. God gives grace to the humble. Kindness, favor. That word humble, do you know what that really means? Are you ready? Humble. Unimportant. God gives grace to the unimportant. When you think of yourself, "Oh yes, I know what they said, but that's okay. I'm not important. God's kingdom is important." When you're functioning outside into your workplace and you're working with people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they treat you with disrespect, and you have the choice to make, "I don't have to be treated that way," or "I'm unimportant. I'm going to love them anyway." You can say that about our school-age children, our college-age young adults. All of us, we all have the same decision to make. But you see, what I'm firmly, when it says God resists the proud, I don't want God to be against me. I do not. I want God to show His grace and His favor toward me. Then verse 7, in closing. therefore submit to God. Here's what you do. Very simple. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, that's what we don't want to do. Okay? We want to talk about submitting to God, but I'm talking about all the way where nothing's off limits to God. Bobby Richardson, former New York Yankee second baseman, said a prayer. This prayer was, "Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else." That's a prayer of humility. I'm not important, God. Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Submit to God. Resist the devil. See, that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to fight old Satan. You know? We don't want to say, "Oh, that's bubbling up within me, and I've got to ask myself the question, is this feeling coming from God? Or is it coming from Satan?" Have you ever done that? I mean, you're just angry, or you're going a direction and you're feeling on the inside very torn up. And do you ask yourself, if what I'm feeling coming from God? And if it's not coming from God, there's only one other place that it can come from. That's the old devil. And when you feel that, and when you know that what's going on inside you is not godly, you back up and you stop and you just pray about it. And you tell old Satan, you are trespassing on God's property. I'm a blood-bought child of the King. Satan, you are not welcome here. Do not put your trashy, ungodly, unspiritual feelings within me. I'm a child of the King. I know love. Resist Satan. Take your stand. And when you want to speak your mind, back up and say, "No, Satan, we're not going to speak our mind. We're going to draw near to God and seek the direction of God. Seek how we can love others and show the love of God." That's what James is saying here. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And I like this. He'll flee from you. I want to tell you what, you start quoting Scripture, Satan don't like that. He does not like that. Draw near to God, verse 8, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, that's the problem. You can't be double-minded. That means torn between two opinions. You can't be torn between yourself and God. It's either all yourself or it's all God. But there will be no fence straddling. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. The last verse, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Listen. What James is saying is, if you'll simply submit to God, that in due season, God will give you what you deserve. Okay? God will reward you. He will provide what you need. Don't try to go get it yourself, because it's not going to work. Trust God. And you know what? Do you realize God loves you? Do you realize that God always tells the truth? Does God always tell the truth? Absolutely. Then, humble yourself before God, and He will lift you up. That's the response. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to give you a chance to be saved. And it starts with humbling yourself before God. You may have this, have thought for years, "I don't need God and religion." And well, I'm going to tell you what, one of these days, if you haven't already discovered you will, that doesn't work. You can't fight the battles of this life alone. You need God. And God has paved the way for you to have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, who died to pay your sin debt. Are you a child of the King?
If not, I'm going to ask you, will you humble yourself and call upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you humble yourself? Come down this aisle. Let me, if you don't understand, come down this aisle and let me lead you. Show you how to be saved. Maybe you're here and you've been filled with arrogance and pride over something going on at work, in life, in church, wherever it is. And you realize today, boy, you know, God's not been at the wheel. I've not submitted to God. I've not resisted the devil. Well, I'll offer you this. We've all been there and done that. That's not anything new. Sad part is to go out of here the same way you come in. Today, the challenge in this invitation, humble yourself before God. Do what God would lead you to do. And He'll lift you up. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study your word. And thank you for your Spirit that has opened that word to us and applied it to our lives. And now I pray that we'll respond. That we'll respond positively. That we will put you on the throne. And we'll keep you on the throne. And that the motto of our lives be, God, anything, anywhere, anytime, Thy will be done. In Jesus' name.